harsh weather conditions hamper rescue efforts in Turkey and Syria, with time running out to find survivors. Plus, signs of growing consolidation in the U.S. healthcare industry as CVS reaches a $10-plus billion deal to acquire a primary care clinic owner, what it could mean for patients.
The main thing is that CVS will be getting a network of clinics and primary care doctors, and they are particularly focused on the Medicare population. Medicare really is a linchpin these days for a lot of the insurers.
And after 3 decades, why Molson Coors is running Super Bowl ads again this year. It's Wednesday, February 8th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. In Turkey and Syria, snow and freezing temperatures are complicating the search for survivors on the third day after 2 powerful earthquakes struck the region. Our Middle East correspondent Jared Mousen has been reporting from southern Turkey and was in the city of Antakya near the border with Syria earlier today.
What we saw was destruction, just a huge swath of the city, many, many buildings just reduced to rubble. And scenes of complete desperation. This is day 3 of this crisis, and so many people are still looking for their loved ones beneath the rubble. And what is so cruel about this situation is that it is depriving people of the normal rights of life and death. If you don't know whether your relatives, whether your friends are alive or dead, you don't know whether to mourn them. And I think that's why you're seeing so much desperation. We saw people picking through the rubble of their homes with their hands, with picks and shovels, rescue workers with construction equipment. And this is a relatively large city, about 200,000 people. And now it's a disaster zone.
Turkey's President Recep Erdogan visited areas affected by the earthquakes today, saying his country is, quote, face to face with a great disaster. As of Wednesday evening, the death toll from the quake had risen to almost 12,000 people across Turkey and Syria. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky made a surprise visit to the UK today, his second known visit abroad since Russia's invasion of his country last year. Zelensky was in London to lobby for more military aircraft to counter Moscow's expected upcoming offensive in eastern Ukraine. Our UK correspondent Max Colchester has the details.
This visit was significant because it really marked a moment for Mr. Zelensky to show his gratitude to the UK, which has been a stalwart supporter along with the US of the country ever since it's been invaded by Russia in 2014. And it also marked an effort by him to increase the pressure on Western allies to provide fighter jets. And one of the key announcements coming today was that Britain was or is considering sending fighter jets to Ukraine and will begin in the spring training fighter pilots on NATO standard equipment. And that is potentially a major escalatory movement by the UK, and one that the UK hopes will encourage other NATO allies to follow suit and help Ukraine gain a decisive edge in this war, which is ground to a stalemate.
UK officials say a final decision on whether to supply jets to Ukraine has not been made, but Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has asked his defense minister to analyze which British jets could be sent. In its first quarterly earnings since Bob Iger's return as CEO, the Walt Disney Company beat expectations, reporting a revenue increase of about 8% from the same quarter in 2021, up to $23.5 billion. The company's streaming service, Disney Plus, saw a drop in overall users, but the decline was largely due to a subscriber loss in India and Southeast Asia, stemming from losing streaming rights to cricket's Indian Premier League. Iger also announced that the company would cut roughly 7,000 jobs as part of larger cost-cutting plans. All this comes as Disney is facing pressure from an activist investor campaigning to get a board seat, plus questions regarding the long-term health of its streaming business. In the UK, antitrust regulators are complicating Microsoft's proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard, a video game giant. The UK's Competition and Markets Authority claims the combination would hurt UK gamers and offered possible remedies, including making Activision Blizzard smaller. A less dramatic option would involve commitments to make games in the hit franchise Call of Duty available on other consoles at the same time as on Xbox, which Microsoft owns. The regulator set a final decision on whether to allow the $75 billion deal for late April. Coming up, CVS has reached a deal to acquire Oak Street Health, a network of primary care clinics. What the deal could mean for patients and whether it'll pass muster with regulators after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Healthcare giant CVS has reached a $10.6 billion deal to buy Oak Street Health, a Chicago-based network of primary care clinics. CVS, which owns Aetna, makes this deal the latest potential tie-up between a health insurer and primary care doctors amid growing consolidation in the healthcare industry. So what could it mean for patients? Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal health reporter Anna Wilde Matthews. Hi, Anna. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first, tell us a little bit more about this deal. What does acquiring Oak Street bring to CVS's business?
The main thing is that CVS will be getting a network of clinics and primary care doctors, and they are particularly focused on the Medicare population. Medicare really is a linchpin these days for a lot of the insurers, including CVS's Aetna unit. And they can get deeper into it by also owning the physicians as well as the insurance arm of the Medicare Advantage business. So Oak Street Health is publicly traded. It's a company that operates clinics, they call them centers, that serve really the Medicare population. And they manage those patients. And the idea is that the patient can really get everything at that center. Certainly primary care, meeting with a doctor, but I think they also have a lot of supports for sort of mental health, social, and the idea is that that can sort of be your kind of medical home and provide you that kind of wraparound support that a lot of patients want and need.
We've seen similar mergers along these lines, including by CVS rival Walgreens, which acquired a majority stake in primary network VillageMD. Anna, how do these deals compare and contrast?
Well, so one thing is that CVS has come a little bit later to the primary care doctor game than some of its competitors. Walgreens, for instance, you mentioned, they've said they're going to open at least 600 VillageMD's locations at their drugstore sites by 2025. And CVS has said Oak Street will have about 300 centers by 2026. So again, sort of a smaller footprint. Other rivals that are more on the insurance side, United Health has more than 60,000 doctors at this point under its Optum wing. So again, CVS is maybe a little smaller, a little later than some of the rivals, but definitely jumping in now with both feet. Consolidation in the healthcare industry has been underway for a really, really long time and has gotten quite advanced. There are a lot of different forms of it. You see a lot of vertical integration between entities that were or are insurers, but now buying assets in other spaces. So a lot of the big insurers now, and this is not brand new, but own pharmacy benefit managers. Certainly CVS is a huge pharmacy benefit manager, as well as a huge insurer as Aetna. That's also true of United. And they are now getting more firmly into the business of actually providing direct care, as we were discussing. So not just the primary care, which this deal is an example of, but also home care. CVS is also moving to buy Signify Health, which is a home care provider. United also was seeking to buy home care. And then Humana is also a huge home care provider. So again, these are more vertical deals where like a insurance company wants to get into the provision of care.
Overall, what does this growing consolidation mean for the healthcare industry?
Well, that's a tough question. It depends on who you ask. Certainly, if you ask the companies that have been doing a lot of acquisitions, they would say that what it really means is lower cost and a better customer experience, a better patient experience. But you do see a lot of skepticism from other parties. Some consumer advocates have raised concerns. And the Biden administration has also signaled that healthcare is an area that they feel merits some extra antitrust scrutiny.
I want to pick up on both of those points, actually. First, what does this mean for patient care? What should consumers know about these types of mergers?
Well, in the particular case of CVS, it hasn't happened yet. And one thing consumers should know is that Oak Street, the clinic company that CVS is acquiring, really does focus on the Medicare population. So for those of us who are not yet 65 and are still insured through our employers, the services of Oak Street are probably not going to be really available, or at least we're certainly not the focus. CVS has talked a little bit about how they like to see the different parts of their operation work together. For instance, having CVS pharmacies in Oak Street clinics might be one possibility, or perhaps with at least Medicare age patients, referring them to Oak Street if they need care beyond what, say, a Minute Clinic could do.
And then on that merger question, Anna, we know that the Biden administration has been taking a tough stance on antitrust enforcement. Is this merger likely to face tough scrutiny from federal regulators? What are the concerns here?
Well, the Biden administration has definitely signaled that healthcare consolidation is a worry. They have spoken about, I think, the idea that combinations of providers, meaning sort of hospitals, doctors, can lead to potentially higher costs. But in terms of this kind of deal with like an insurer buying another asset, they have been bringing some scrutiny there as well. The Justice Department unsuccessfully sued to block UnitedHealth's acquisition of Change. And they're also bringing some scrutiny to United's proposed acquisition of a major home health operator. That said, CVS is not currently really a player in sort of the primary care physician space. They are not a big presence, and they don't really overlap with Oak Street in that way. And it seems, you know, given that, say, United, for instance, has, you know, more than 60,000 physicians, it would be interesting if the Biden administration chose to take on this deal when CVS is sort of so much smaller on that side than some of its competitors already. But you can never tell.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal health reporter Anna Wilde Matthews. Anna, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, for the first time in over 30 years, we're going to see Molson Coors beer commercials during the Super Bowl. The company is betting big this year on an experimental tie-up after Anheuser-Busch InBev gave up exclusive rights to the game. Now, Molson is running ads highlighting its team up with online betting site DraftKings, where Molson is asking viewers to take a chance to win some cash. As part of the campaign, viewers can use the DraftKings betting app to predict aspects of a commercial that hasn't aired yet, like how many beers will appear, what kind of dog is hanging out behind the bar, and the total number of people in the ad with facial hair. If they guess right, viewers can win prize money. Our advertising editor, Suzanne Vernitza, says the prospect of winning money from commercials turns the ad break on its head.
It makes people pay attention on Super Bowl. So if you think about you watching Super Bowl, what do? You're at a party, you're eating guacamole. Every time a commercial breaks come on, you kind of want to watch the ads, but you also want to eat guacamole and chips. So you're not fully paying attention, but if you got money to win, you might pay closer attention.
Molson Coors isn't the only alcohol brand we'll see between plays on Sunday. Remy Martin, Heineken, Crown Royal, and perennial Super Bowl standard Anheuser-Busch InBev have all purchased ad time for Super Bowl 57. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.